We all feel old.
I don't.
Me neither.
Okay, except for maybe Alexis. I don't know. But I'm going to play something for you right now that's going to make everybody here feel ancient.
Ugh, why do you do this? Like, just going pretending like I'm 25 right now. Jeffrey, you're ruining it.
This is fun because a decade ago, this dropped.
Hey, I just met you.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
This is crazy.
Call Me Maybe came out 10 years ago.
We had her in studio with us, Carly Rae Jepsen, and she was so darling.
I know. Yeah. I thought she really sure she was going to fall in love with me.
Did you?
I did. I think that about all the female celebrities, though, that came into the studio when I was younger. I thought they'd meet me and my natural charm would just take over.
Wait.
And then they'd want to come back again and see me. They never want to come back.
Did you even talk to her?
Yeah. I gave her coffee.
Oh, nice.
That's right. I went and got her water and coffee, and I was like, this is going to be it.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks you're going to fall in love with me. Yeah. Another celebrity who's not very well known at all in studio once, and she was like, I'll come to your comedy show in LA next week. I was like, cool. She never opened my DM.
Yeah, I know.
They lie.
We always get a little bit too cocky.
Yeah. But, I'm in radio. That's
really
gonna impress
sweet,
them.
Boys. I brought you coffee.
Yeah.
I took a sip out of it before I handed it to you, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, our work coffee sucks.
Yeah, that's true, too.
She didn't come back, so I guess chivalry is dead.
You may have ruined her career.
She just had a good album that came out.
She did.
Not long ago.
Yeah,
anyway, to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae went on to Instagram. She posted a picture of herself looking like a grandma.
Oh, she still looks so young.
Get out of here. Yeah, she's got, like, blue hair.
She's so pretty.
Dude, if I look like that as a grandma, hell yeah.
Are we feeling old yet?
No, I just think that you're feeling thirsty. But we're good.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's make ourselves feel a little bit older. We're going to shock each other.
Yeah.
And that's going to give us wrinkles, and we're going to feel ancient when we do the shock collar question of the day. We got a bucket full of names. We're going to draw one out, see who gets asked the trivia question. If you answer wrong, the punishment is to be shocked while singing a song. So text into 78592. Tell us which one you'd like to hear. Jose, you're going to draw a name out because you had the shock collar last. Who'd you get?
I got Brooke the Bacon Batman.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Those aren't wings. Those are two strips of bacon.
It's putting on the shock collar while that happens. Digital Jake, please read us the shock collar question of the day.
When you'd want someone to stop talking, nowadays Brooke might tell Jose to put a sock in it.
I don't think I've ever uttered that phrase.
Yeah, that's old. Put a sock in it, Jose.
Did you know the phrase originated in Britain back in the 1800s and was used in a much more literal way before it eventually became a slang way to get people to shut their yaps?
Oh.
What is the origin of the phrase, put a sock in it?
Wow, I never thought of this.
Is it bad that I went to a really dark thing first?
Uh-oh.
What?
I want to hear.
That they'd, like, put a sock in the mouth of an animal that they were about to slaughter.
Oh, my God.
Is that too dark?
That is really
dark. I didn't think they were going to slaughter it. I just thought an animal that's loud.
So it wouldn't scream.
No, I was thinking, like, I don't know, like a pipe that would whistle or something when there's too much steam and they'd have to stuff a sock in it to make it be quiet. Mm. Like, not another being. I thought it was, like, a mechanism.
I mean, what years are we talking right now? 1800s, you said?
Correct.
Okay.
What would be loud in the 1800s that you'd want to put a sock inside of to make it stop?
Yeah, see, I'm thinking of like a steam whistle like for a train, but in the 1800s, were they around yet?
Yeah, and you don't want to clog up the steam pipe because that was not good for the functioning
sure.
of the train.
I know, but if it wasn't for a train.
I think the whistle was different than the steam pipe. Yeah, they're two separate situations.
Sorry, I don't know everything about 1800 trains in Britain right now.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to put it in a whistle like if the train was going through at night. They would stuff a sock in it so that it wouldn't wake up the town as it went through.
Or, you know, they could just not blow the whistle as they're going through the town.
But
is that a rule? You have to blow the whistle even if it's 1 a.m?
It's a good point, Jeffrey.
It's a giant whistle. I have to do it. I'm sorry.
So people didn't like my animal slaughter guess.
No, it does make sense.
It makes sense. I would hope that it's not that sad to
Too
start
dark.
The morning.
Okay.
Anyway.
I mean, maybe.
What else is making lots of noise in the 1800s?
Maybe we'll get a hint if we get the question one more time.
Telling someone to put a sock in it first started in 1800s Britain, and for over 200 years, it's been used as an informal way to get someone to be quiet. However, back when it was first used, it was about literally putting a sock somewhere. I need you to tell me how this phrase began. Where would someone put the sock? And Jeff, please, I've listened to the podcast of True Confessions on brookandjeffrey.com. Clean answers only. I'm going to put a sock.
Well, gets rid of 3 of my suggestions, so... what do you think, Brooke?
I mean, the way he read it, it feels like you're putting the sock on yourself. Like, you put it on your bum so and your toots aren't loud.
You know, I like the slaughtered answer better than that.
Yeah. He still says in it. Yeah. So if you, I mean, if you're thinking slaughter, like, I could see a chicken, like,
I just don't think Jake would do that to us in the morning. That's a problem. I mean, it is dark. I like some sort of whistle.
Yeah. Or what if it didn't have to make a noise? I know we're automatically thinking be quiet, but what if there was a leak and they had to stuff a sock in it to stop it? But it sounds like it's something that was common. Like, they would do it all the time. That's like an emergency situation.
Maybe a horse would chew on a sock. You know, they'd kind of chew on anything when they're hanging out waiting for you outside the saloon. I don't know. I just figured we were in the Wild Wild West in the 1800s.
Think about it, your horse is making a bunch of noise. Everyone's trying to get wasted. Yeah. Like, yo, hey, go put a sock in it.
I always thought I'd be such a good saloon girl.
You would.
Yeah, thanks.
I could see that.
Like, breaking bottles over the tops of people's heads.
Yeah,
I don't
for
know.
No reason.
I'm going to go with, gosh, you guys.
Sorry.
I'm going to go, it's a way that they kept their horses quiet.
In present day, even in our studio, you might hear one of us say, put a sock in it, if we want someone else to immediately stop talking. But back in the 1800s, putting a sock in it was something people did to cut down on noise, specifically when listening to a music on a gramophone back then. The device did not have a volume control, no knobs or buttons, so the only way to turn down the song was to literally put a sock in the horn of the gramophone.
In the gramophone! That's what it is!
I would have never gotten there.
You would then use the gramophone to slaughter an animal.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't that.
Well, didn't get it right. And Brooke, you're going to get shocked while singing Montero, Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, love Lil Nas X.
Call me when you want, call me when you need, call me in the morning, I'll be on my way.
Put a sock in it, put a sock in it, oh my gosh.
Hey, put a sock in it.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
That's your shock collar question of the day.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
You ever do anything illegal just to give yourself a rush?
Not really. What?
Like run a stop sign on purpose.
Oh, every day.
No. That's not to get a rush. That's just because you don't understand traffic laws.
She's like, I yelled stop. I don't understand.
You do that on accident, right, yeah. Alexis?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, totally.
Accident.
Or maybe take a baby from a hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Not one of the big hospitals. Like one of the smaller ones with less security. You guys have done that, right?
And one of the smaller babies, too, so it's easier to transport.
Yeah, not as heavy.
Everybody goes, you smell them, and then you just put them back.
Yeah, you always return them.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of our listeners says he gets his adrenaline pumping by doing something out in his neighborhood every few weeks, and it's actually made the local news.
What?
This doesn't sound good.
Will he stop? He says no. In fact, he's seriously kind of hoping that he gets caught.
What?
This is weird.
You'll find out what it is when we do a brand new mass speaker.
Okay, check on your babies, by the way.
It's coming up at 7:10.
You don't know me.
Confession I can't take back.
I am
the masked speaker.
It's the segment that's a little bit different than the other one we do called The Masked Peaker, featuring Jose. Mm-hmm. That one, not as much approval.
Wait, am I supposed to wear a mask?
Yeah, it's good. No, see, this one's The Masked Speaker, where our listeners can get out their deepest hidden truths and only half as much screaming as Jose's thing.
Yeah, that's because I need to wear the mask.
Right.
Yeah, right.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. One of our listeners is on the line ready to give their confession. He's chosen to use the fake name John. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Why are the names always so plain? Like, I feel like
because it's easy.
Like,
it could be anybody, right? You don't want to pick a unique name. Then somebody could search you.
Yeah,
that's right.
True. All
so,
right.
John, you are today's mass speaker. We're altering your voice using our voice changer. And whenever you're ready, go ahead. Tell us what your confession is.
Okay, so my confession is that I might actually be famous, but nobody knows it.
What?
Sounds like you don't even know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the whole point of being famous is that everybody knows it.
Yeah.
That's how you get to be famous.
What do you mean you're kind of famous?
Well, I think infamous might be a better term.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you, like some bank robber or something?
No, but could actually be worse than that.
Worse?
Oh,
what?
Robbing like forts?
Or worse just because you're poor still.
What's going on, man?
So a few weeks ago, I was coming home from work and had to go to the bathroom really bad.
Okay.
So it was, I don't even know if I ate something, but it was a sudden onset.
Oh, one of those.
You know
we
what?
Don't need a lot of going.
I'm going to go with we don't need a lot of details.
Yeah. The less you tell us in this situation, the better it's going to be.
I mean, I know your voice is masked and everything, but...
I don't know. I'm interested.
What kind of confession comes out of having to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
So I was only a few blocks from my house, and I literally had to jump out of my car.
Oh, one of those.
I don't think anybody saw me. Like, in the bushes, it was...
So wait, you peed in the bushes?
No. You don't do that when you have to pee, Brooke.
I wouldn't be calling if that was...
Exactly. I peed in a bush.
You dropped the twins off at the bush. Is that what we're saying now?
Exactly.
Okay, so do you just feel bad that you pooed in a neighbor's yard?
Yeah, you just fertilized a plant, bro. Sorry, that's not that crazy.
Yeah, no, this has actually turned into something kind of bigger than that. But the house that I did it on is actually on my jogging route. And I had this weird thought to say, you know, what happens if, what would happen if I tried this again?
Wait, why are you laughing? Did you eat it twice?
You went a second time, but the second time was on purpose. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
At the same place?
You're just getting a thrill out of this.
No, it was actually, you know, like a few doors away from that. And
okay, another person's house.
You hit a different house on your block.
Do you like your neighbors?
So now we've pooed in two people's yards. What next, John?
Yeah.
So I actually went on next door, and I actually found a post about it.
Oh.
About you?
People are talking about you and your poo.
No, exactly. I mean, look, it's biodegradable. It's good for the grass.
I mean, I doubt that's what they put in the post.
Yeah.
They don't, I truly doubt.
Miracle hero. Greener than fertilized my yard. Greener than ever.
So are you still pooping in people's yards?
Yeah, I did it a few more times. I went back online.
Stop,
bro.
You love it.
Listen, I'm seeing more posts on the site.
Why can't you just be a regular troll on the internet?
He is. He's seeing that they're posting about him, and it's working. He's still doing it because he likes the recognition.
Do a one-time bank robbery, please.
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is like a bank robber who goes and reads the reviews, and we can't catch the guy.
Exactly.
I see what he's doing.
John. It's like bringing community together. People are talking about it. You know, it's livening up the neighborhood a little bit.
Livening up.
John, you're going to get caught, man.
Maybe that's part of the thrill of it for him, Brooke. Like, is there a plan for you to stop?
Well, I feel like a serial killer because it's like, I don't know if I should stop or not.
I hate that you said it that way. And with the voice changer, it made it so much worse.
Yeah.
It's the only way I could explain it. You know, that
you could just call yourself a serial pooper.
Yeah,
I mean, it feels like a gateway situation for you.
Yeah, he is killing lawns.
So what's your plan?
Wait, I got to tell you one more thing. One time, I actually pooped in my own yard and posted it myself.
Oh, that's actually brilliant. So people think he's part of it.
Oh, my God.
That is brilliant, bro.
Okay, I'm going to be sick.
Dude,
John, do you have a family? Do you have kids that live at your house? Are you single?
I'm single. I am single.
I'm shocked.
How?
Oh, if you had a wife, they could do it together.
I will find new hobbies for you. I will find you something better to do with your time.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And now the local news saw my post. And now I don't think they think it's me, of course, but they want to interview me.
To talk about your experience with your yard getting defecated
on. Yeah, your house got hit, and so they want the scoop.
Wait, did you say they want the scoop?
Why are you connecting with this man so well?
So you have no plans of stopping this, it sounds like.
Well, they're never going to catch me.
That was weird. Okay. I don't think the voice changer helped.
No, it didn't. All right, John.
I'm scared.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you, John. We don't know your name, but we do have your phone number, and I'm going to hold on to it just in case.
Oh, no.
Just in case some sort of weird stuff starts happening.
Oh, my God. Well, does that mean I should take all the news clippings off my wall now?
see, he's joking
again. Is he joking?
I hope you're joking, dude. That feels weird, John.
I get you, John.
Okay. You have one friend.
His name is John. I just got it. Yeah. Like, go into the John.
Okay. Oh, my God. I didn't get it either. There we go, John.
This segment may need to end soon.
I just
hope it wasn't inspiration for Jose, because that's what it's starting to feel like.
He's going to start getting copycats of him all over. A text in to 78592 if you have a confession that you've been holding on to. We'll hide your identity with a voice changer so you can become the next mass speaker. Your phone tap's coming up right after this.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
We're doing a special one-time offer. Listen to this phone tap. You'll get the next 100 phone taps for free.
Oh, man.
What a deal.
Don't tell them.
It's the BOGO.
Yeah.
I keep going, but you get it. Anyway, today we call a guy who has a regular cleaning service that comes by every 2 weeks to tidy up his house.
Okay.
And he's never had a problem with them before. That's about to change because I need to let him know we accidentally left something behind.
Uh-oh.
Well, maybe not something, but someone.
Person?
Anyway, it's not our problem now because we're already out on the road, so he's going to have to deal with it in your phone tap right now.
It's another phone tap.
And weekday mornings on the 20s.
Hello?
Hey, this is Troy with the cleaning service. I'm looking to speak with Randy.
Yeah, this is Randy.
Hey, Randy. I was just calling to let you know that my guy's finished cleaning your house, so good to go.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, but there was one slight hiccup that happened while we were cleaning. You should probably know about it.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I don't really know how to say this, but one of our cleaners escaped.
What do you mean escaped?
One of our guys who was cleaning your place, he just slipped away. Shackles and everything.
Shackles?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Oh, did you not receive the email?
What email?
The company I work for is called Stevenson's Correctional Cleaning Services, and they bought your regular maid service a couple weeks ago.
I'm not following. What's this got to do with anything?
Well, like I said, it's Stevenson's Correctional Cleaning Service, so all our cleaners are active inmates in the prison system.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you have criminals inside my house?
Well, we like to call them employees, but technically they are convicted criminals.
What?
Some are murderers, but not the one that escaped in your house, though.
You're telling me there's some convicted criminal in my house?
Well, we think so, but we're not 100% sure, because he may have gotten out through a window. You know, he could be hiding in your back shed.
Well, you need to find out. I mean, you need to call the police. We need to get an APB or something.
Unfortunately, we had to leave to go to another job. So the guards just loaded everybody into the van. You know, everybody except that one.
No. Go back and take care of this.
I'm sorry. We've already moved on. But like I said,
this has got to be a joke.
If you see anything, definitely give us a call.
This is bullshit.
I understand. I hear that you're upset. You're a little concerned. But I wouldn't worry too much, though. This guy's only serving 10 to 15 years. Some of the other cleaners...
10 to 15 years?
Yeah. Some of our other cleaners are lifers, and they have nothing to lose.
What the hell is he serving time for?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not allowed to give out that kind of information.
You're not allowed to give that type of information, but you're allowed to bring in convicts and murderers into my house to clean it?
Yeah,
legally
that's against the rules. Just curious, though, do you have any swords or sharp objects in your house that you might be able to fashion into weapons?
Hey, moron, you need to shut up and listen.
Well,
you're a cleaning service. You don't bring convicts into your house and tell people about it. You've never even said anything to me.
Well, yeah, it was all in the email that we sent.
I didn't get a email.
The prisoners told me that they sent it to you.
Maybe that's your problem. You had prisoners send the email? Oh, yeah, they're responsible.
They're very tech savvy.
Oh, that's great. They're tech savvy. Maybe now they can find a way to drain your bank accounts and put you out of business, you idiots.
Look, sir, here's what I can do for you right now. I can offer to come back maybe this Sunday.
No. You know what you can do? You can offer to shove it up your ass. You're not coming back to my house, you moron.
Yeah, sorry. I really couldn't hear you there because we're on the road right now. But, look, if you could do me a solid and just go on Yelp and leave a positive review for us, you know, after you come home and see the clean, that
would... You're not even getting a f***ing Yelp review. You're getting a f***ing lawsuit.
The thing is, you're not going to find us on Yelp. The correctional cleaning service thing is actually kind of made up. Because the truth is, my name's Jeff from the radio show Brooke and Jeffrey in the Morning, and I'm doing a phone tap on you.
This is not my cleaning service. This is some sort of joke.
Yeah. Your wife set you up for a prank call because she said that you hired cleaners and you were worried about them maybe breaking some stuff in your house.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this.
But look, if you see one of our prisoners walking around, just give him some Top Ramen and cigarettes, and then he should leave you alone.
Yeah, sure, right, roommate. But I'm going to charge him for his room. It's not on the state.
Wake up every morning with phone taps. Weekday mornings on the 20s. Brooke and Jeffrey in the Morning.
How do you spice things up in a marriage? Plan a romantic getaway?
Oh, yeah.
Steal your partner's wallet?
Oh.
Dye your hair pink? Brooke's tried it all. But one thing that she hasn't tried, at least not in quite some time, is playing a tried and true game on the radio to test the strength of your relationship. And you know what? Since Brooke and her husband just celebrated 9 years of marriage together, we thought, what better way to honor their everlasting commitment than by playing Chance at Love Married Edition.
Yes! Last time we played this, we almost got divorced.
Yep.
I'm not joking. It was the biggest fight we've ever been in.
They busted out the envelopes and played the other night. If you've never heard this before, get ready to hear something really special when we play you the audio coming up next. It's Brooke and Jeffrey in the Morning. We like to do a segment on this show from time to time called
Chance at Love. Chance at Love. Chance at Love.
Yay!
If you've never heard it before, it's a game we normally play with Jose and a random female that is usually met on Facebook or Insta.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember doing this recently.
Yeah, no, that's worrisome, isn't it, for you, Jose?
Well, since Jose has had zero luck in the female department,
yes.
Translation, he's hit his DM limit on Insta for the month. We thought we should switch it up a little bit and see what happens when we play the game Chance at Love Married Edition with our own Brooke Fox.
Yes!
Brooke and her oppressed husband,
Michael. Oppressed?
He's a great guy. And he hates doing these things for this show.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
It was their anniversary over the weekend. And
that's why.
Before we even get into this, I'm just going to play a clip before they even had a chance to open any of the envelopes.
Oh, no.
I'm scared.
Pre-game, this was the first audio file we found on the recorder from that night.
Oh, no.
9 years in, our marriage almost ended tonight over one single gray rug. Because in modern times, when you have a bathroom rug, you put it on the ground when you're showering, and then you dry off over it, and then when you're done drying off, you put it back up so you can enjoy the nice tile below it. It's not reason to get divorced, though that's what I experienced this evening. Okay. I'm going to divorce you if you don't stop talking about the rug. That's what I heard.
Okay, are you ready to play the game?
Oh, I want to talk more about the rug.
So clearly that night, things were already a little bit heated.
Yeah. It's just like every time he puts a rug on the side of the bathtub, dirt falls in the bathtub, then I have to clean the bathtub. We won't get into the rug.
Yeah. That is very annoying.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
anyway.
Weird.
It sounds like a very solid relationship. Yeah. If you've never heard a Chance at Love before, here's basically how it works. We gave Brooke 8 mystery love envelopes.
Yes.
She and her husband had to open 5 of them. Uh-huh. It could be their choice. And once the card was open, the two lovebirds must answer each question inside, no matter how embarrassing it is.
I'm nervous.
And in the end,
this.
We'll see if there's a true connection there.
Oh, thanks, Jeffrey.
Or if divorce is on the horizon.
Wow.
Like her husband was just saying in the previous clip.
Uh-oh.
Now, Brooke, when Jose plays the game, he usually consumes more than the recommended amount of booze.
Yeah.
Now, I've been told you were feeling pretty good as well that night. What was the drink of choice?
Well, you know me. Wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. A specific. Yeah. Is it the box wine or did you go a little classy for the anniversary?
Oh, we had a bottle, but it was twist off still.
Let's listen in.
I'm excited.
As Brooke and her husband, Michael, open up their first Chance at Love card.
Envelope number dos. If there's one place anywhere in the world where you wish you and your partner could go hook up and no one would see it happen, where would you go? Be specific. Oh, I know immediately.
Really?
Yes.
more than anything, I think I just want a vacation. And I would go to the beaches of Mexico. Oh, yeah. It's shallow enough to where, like, you could do it on the beach. And it'd be really good. And then guess what would happen next?
A golf cart would pick us up.
No. Oh. We would stay laying there. And someone would bring us a margarita. Dude. And then do you know what would happen next? They'd bring a taco. Wait. Do you know what? Who else just showed up? A massage therapist just showed up.
Just keep coming.
I'm gonna get a massage. We could even take the sex out of the whole thing and just get massages and tacos and margaritas.
Dude, massages and tacos and margaritas.
And then you know what's gonna happen next? We're gonna take a nap.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I like how things got so good. It's like, let's take away the lovemaking. Yeah.
Interesting that your fantasy hookup with your husband
involves no actual
hooking up with your husband.
I still stand by it sober. I'm just letting you know.
The good news is Michael did sound on board with the zero lovemaking too. So
that was cute.
That's a positive. Let's just get to your next question. What envelope will they choose?
Number one. Question number one. What would you say is your spouse's most repeated sentence or phrase? Give a quick impression of what they sound like saying it.
What's my most repeated phrase?
Oh, baby, I love you so much. That is your most repeated phrase. I love you, and you mean so much to me. And you're handsome, you're really funny.
I don't know that we go that far.
But I think the most repeated phrase is... Oh, baby, you're so...
Baby? I don't ever say baby.
Oh, you're right. You don't say baby. That's just in my head. I imagine that.
You want babe? You want me to start... Hey, babe.
No. In my funny little hilarious sad world, no, I don't want that. No. Next.
Why is your world sad?
Next question.
We don't have time to air that part.
Yeah. That got dark for me for a second. Yeah,
well, you're the one that's making it dark. He's saying these really nice things that you say, and you're like, no, there's no mention of love. I would never say that.
I know. I don't know what to believe. He's like, you're handsome. No, Michael.
We do not do the babe baby thing. That is not our MO. And then he called this world sad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. What should Michael have answered with then, Brooke?
I think I love you is a good, strong answer. It just kept going. You know,
they
asked for the phrase. Listen to the question.
Don't elaborate.
Okay. And make sure you text in to 78592 if you want to comment on Brooke and her husband's chance at love. What do you think? Are you hearing the romance like we are?
Are you excited to get married?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very exciting yet.
I don't know. Let's keep going with another question.
Okay. In a relationship, nobody wants to hear you're acting just like your mother. But look at your partner right now and tell them the main way they act most like their mom.
Whoa. Oh, shots fired.
Oh, man. You have a very hard time admitting you're wrong.
What does that mean? How does that look? I don't understand.
Like earlier tonight when you were insistent that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston were married and you wouldn't believe me.
They were lovers at one point.
Whatever. They weren't any of that. No, they weren't.
Google's wrong.
See, exactly. This is the part that I'm talking about where you won't admit that you're wrong.
And Ben Affleck have been, they were lovers years ago and then they went and did their own thing and now they're back together.
No, that's Jennifer Lopez.
I'll get back to you.
Yo, right. I was like adamant. I'm like, he's right. And then you said it. I go, wait a minute. You're right, too. It's the wrong person.
No, he still wouldn't believe me after he
even looked at
this is what you spend your anniversary talking about, Brooke?
Whoa, it's like, come on.
So we've been through three questions, and so far, according to Brooke, Michael's gotten all three wrong.
Yeah. But
if you think this first part of Chance at Love Married Edition was weird, you just wait because we have physical challenges coming up. And spoiler alert, I'll just tell you, Brooke was not impressed.
Oh, okay. Surprise
there.
Yeah.
We're going to continue Chance at Love next.
Chance at love.
They're not going to play that.
What do you mean they're not going to play that? This is our story, so...
No, you're trying to be funny, and it's not funny.
If you couldn't tell,
I thought he's really funny.
We're in the middle of playing Chance at Love Married Edition with our own Brooke Fox and her husband Michael for their 19th wedding anniversary.
It's not 19.
Oh, it's not?
A long time. Yeah, no.
It certainly feels like a long time.
No, I love him. He's such a great sport for doing this.
He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of husbands out there that would put themselves through anything like this.
Oh, no.
So credit to Michael, but we're playing to see if their marriage and their love will stand the test of time.
That's not why we're playing, Jeffrey.
It's just maybe that's a bonus, a little perk that we get out of it. And so far, Brooke and Michael have been given 8 mystery envelopes. They've opened 3, and we're getting some really great insight into life with Brooke.
Yeah.
Does it, why do you say
you
like
lean
that?
Into a loving relationship.
Yeah. Does it sound like love to you? Text in to 78592, and maybe the answer will be even more clear after we hear the next question.
Pick an envelope, my love. My lover.
I love the number 3. Let's start there.
Okay, open it.
Can you open it?
No, it's your question to ask me.
No, why don't you open it and then
just
I'll read it.
Open the envelope, my love.
Imagine you and your spouse have been selected to appear on the show The Amazing Race.
That's the show I wanted to be on.
What would be your partner's biggest strength and their biggest weakness in the competition? My partner's biggest strength would be her love for the show. The biggest weakness...
That's not a strength. How am I going to win because I love the show? That's...
Because you're familiar with how it works and the strategy and all that stuff. The biggest weakness would be your bossiness.
Excuse me? Excuse me.
You're bossy.
Okay, no, I am just assertive.
It causes anger. Like tonight, bossy about the rug.
Do you know what I think your weakness would be? Because you talk too much to people. Like when we go to the grocery store and we have to spend 15 minutes in the checkout line because you know every cashier. That doesn't bode well for The Amazing Race. You get on with it. You can't just sit in the cab and talk to somebody because you made friends.
I love those people, though. Those are the stories that make life worth living.
It's a weakness.
You know, Brooke, I really hope that you and your husband do end up getting on the show because you would never leave the start line.
It's a race, Jeffrey. Yeah. I mean, you should see the man make a quick grocery store run.
I like how you didn't give him a strength, Brooke. Just a weakness.
I'm bossy? You're doing this wrong.
Okay, I might be a little bossy, but I think that there's a negative connotation to bossy. I mean, men don't get called bossy, and they're just as bossy as women.
Thanks for telling me, boss. Anyway.
You're mansplaining that to me.
Earlier, I told you that Brooke and her husband were going to be given physical challenges.
Oh,
so
is this it?
Now it's time to hear.
Here comes the foot race. What is it?
Let's see how they did.
I'm going with number 8. Two things that are scientifically proven to spark romance are, music and alcohol. So you're going to combine both. Take a sip from your drink and gargle the most romantic love song you can think of to serenade your partner. Aww. Who came up with this? I don't even know how to gargle. It's delicious.
You have to leave it in your mouth. You keep drinking it, Michael. You have to leave it in your mouth to gargle it. You're singing Annie Hard Knock Life? I think it's that bad to be married to me. You're being mean, and you know it.
I'm trying to be funny.
No one is asking us to do this because they think you're funny. No one's relying on you being funny.
I'm
not funny, okay?
Oh, wow, bro.
Dude,
just
straight in on him.
I'm brutal. He said,
like hard enough life after.
It was so funny of him.
It was really funny.
I was supposed to sing a romantic song. I thought just one time on our anniversary he was going to do something romantic.
He was trying to make you laugh, Brooke, on your anniversary.
Was he? Was he? Because he was saying it's a hard enough life to be married to Brooke Fox.
All right, so Michael's, made us laugh. Michael's 0 for 4 on his answering his questions. But you know what? Now it's Brooke's turn. Will better at the gargling and prove once and for all that she loves her husband much more than he loves her? She's gonna try. Let's listen.
Real quick, what love song would you have gargled?
Well, the one we listened to tonight, the Adele cover of the Bob Dylan song.
Could I challenge you? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brooke gargling a love song.
Yay!
I'll hand it to you. That was impressive.
Oh, wow.
That was Make You Feel My Love, our first dance song at our wedding.
I mean, weird that her gargling is the sexiest that Brooke has ever sounded. I mean, I could still hear a little bit of bossy judgmentalness in the gargling.
Stop it.
Also,
very long.
When you compare, you can tell that he had a little sip. Brooke put like the whole bottle of wine
in
her mouth and it was overflowing.
You know what? Yeah. I had a job to do, Jose. And I take that job seriously. But my teeth were so red after that. Yeah.
Well, you sounded great.
Yeah, thanks.
Finally, we've come to the last question in Chance at Love, Married Edition. Let's hear it.
Soon.
And remember to text into 78592. Tell us how you think this marriage is going.
Which number are you going with next?
I'm picking envelope number 5.
That was not nice.
Hey, didn't you want heartfelt answers?
If your spouse won the lottery, what do you think would be the first thing they would go buy?
Why are you taking the mic? Can I hold it? You asked me to hold it.
No, just give it to me. I don't...
See, bossy. Bossy. Give me the mic.
You don't have the headphones on. You can't hear what it sounds like. Okay, I think that you would go buy... What was that brand you liked that was at Target? Stussy? No, it wasn't Stussy.
Stussy?
Oh, Mossimo. You love the Mossimo brand. If you won the lottery, you would buy the Mossimo brand and revive it because it's dead.
The number one hoodie. You're right. But I might get you a new car. Because the car you're driving is from 2008. I'm a little embarrassed. I would also invest in a weekly detail because the daily peanut butter napkins from the morning drive are nasty.
Oh, wow, bro.
Peanut butter napkins.
Well, like I have a peanut butter toast and sometimes the peanut butter like oozes over and then I just crumple up the napkin and stick it in
gross.
The dashboard.
Ew. You know you do not have to win the lottery to buy a new car. I just bought a car. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Text into 78592. How many years are left on this wonderful marriage?
No.
It could be 90 years, bro.
Okay. Well, it's till the end of time.
Anyway.
Yeah. I love that, man.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
You always hear people talking about going after your dreams.
Yeah.
If you can dream it, you can achieve it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a nice thought, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless your dream's to become the most prolific serial killer in history.
Oh.
In which case, you know, maybe hit pause, take a Xanax, recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you know what? You know what? You dream it, you do it.
Yes.
Get out there, you do it, man.
I'm going to be a zebra someday.
What?
I'm going to dream it.
Okay.
That one is safer, I feel like, than a serial killer, so I'm for it, Jose.
But seriously, how many people actually follow through with that and try to achieve their wildest dreams?
Oh,
I would say not a lot.
Not really.
I'm one of them, and I'm not at my wildest yet, but my dreams are coming true, and it's crazy.
Oh, that's
just
sweet.
Just being here, honestly.
Oh, your dream is to be with us.
Okay. I said almost coming true.
Sad.
Yeah, exactly.
One man in Italy is actually doing it.
Wow.
And his biggest, craziest goal is to create a society exactly like his favorite movie ever.
Oh, no.
What?
You'll find out what movie society he's making in real life coming up at 8:10. If you could live inside your favorite movie, which one would you choose?
Ooh.
It's Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, for Brooke, it's probably Bad Moms.
Oh. That fits you so well.
Jose is signing up for Dazed and Confused.
Oh, okay, that works. Totally. I was going to say Dumb and Dumber. Very similar.
Yeah, whatever.
Same. And for Alexis, I'm going to guess a Hannah Montana movie.
Oh. Hey!
High School Musical.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
High School Musical.
I do love that
one. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I'm living The Hangover right now.
Sorry, buddy.
It's kind of a ridiculous thing to say, that whole idea, but one man in Italy is actually doing this. He's literally trying to make his all-time favorite movie his real life.
What?
Whoa.
His name's Nicholas Gentile. Or if he's Italian, it's probably Gentile.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That sounds good.
Nicholas Gentile. And he's a 37-year-old pastry chef. Aww. And his all-time favorite film ever is Lord of the Rings.
Oh. One of those.
You know, Frodo, Gandalf.
I'm glad you didn't say
Orlando Bloom, but blonde.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say, like, The Godfather, and he's just killing people left and right.
No,
yeah.
Thank goodness. But one day, Nicholas decided it wasn't enough anymore to just love Lord of the Rings. He needed to actually live it.
Huh.
And it's insane how he's making this happen.
Okay.
So a few years ago, he purchased an empty plot of land out on the Italian countryside, about 5 acres worth.
Okay, very similar to Middle Earth. Is that what you're saying?
He's slowly been creating his own Middle Earth there for him to live in.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay.
He's building it like the Shire, where the hobbits live.
Oh, it's always so cool. I honestly, every time I see those movies, I'm like, I'd love to live in the Shire.
Yeah. I mean,
it looks so dumb. You're like little hills.
It'd be cute as like an Airbnb for the weekend. Yeah. Like, if we're talking full time.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's already built his first house on it. And it's constructed into the ground with a little round door, just like you see the hobbits living in.
Wow.
And he doesn't live alone either.
How?
I know, shocking. This guy, he's actually married.
Oh, and his wife is on board?
She says she's cool with it. She likes their new lifestyle.
Wow.
And so they live in their Shire.
Okay.
And they only wear hobbit clothes and do hobbit things.
Like
farm and sing merry tunes. And, of course, go on magical missions to save Middle Earth.
Yay! We're going on an adventure!
He really does this.
I'm lost right now.
I'm teasing him a little bit, but like their whole family's into it. Like, good for them, I guess.
His latest quest was a 120-mile walk.
What?
Oh,
starting from his house to Naples, Italy, so he could throw a gold ring into the crater of Mount Vesuvius.
Stop it. Have to walk it.
Because that's like something that happens in Lord of the Rings,
that,
right?
That
like,
is that's the big, Lord of the Rings movie. That's the whole plot.
And that's like my precious, like, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he really did this with a group of friends who are also Lord of the Rings fanatics, and they all dressed up for the journey as an elf, a dwarf, a hobbit, a sorcerer, and a couple humans.
No, and they're just walking around on the, like, hitchhiking. How are they getting? They're just walking the whole time.
Walking all on foot, crossing over mountains and rivers, and they didn't bring anything with them besides the clothes on their backs, some toy swords, and the ring.
Toy swords.
Oh my God, not even
Stop.
Water.
All right, guys. You got the essentials? Yep, got my toy sword right
here. I just say bring some water with you.
They did it. They made it. They climbed Mount Vesuvius, tossed the ring into the volcano, and saved Middle Italy.
Do you think the moment after they tossed the ring in was kind of like anticlimactic?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, well, how do we get home now?
Or they get there and they're like, Bill, do you have the ring? And he's like, oh my God, I knew I forgot something. Yeah. Well, let's go back, boys.
Well, afterwards, Nicholas was interviewed about it, and he said it felt truly magical because along the way, total strangers were opening their doors to the group to give them food, let them sleep there, and even allow them to take showers in their homes.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, if a pack of grown men dressed as the hobbit, a sorcerer, who else, a wizard, what are we working with, showed up at my doorstep.
All grimy.
I'm not letting them in.
Really?
I don't mean to be mean. For my own safety.
I might give them like a car ride.
Would you?
That's it though.
I don't know. I'm shouting out to them. I'm like, hey, fellas, you want to come inside?
Yeah.
You want to take a bath?
Yeah, this is where the magic happens.
That's right. Anyway, so that happened, but Nicholas says he's not done. He's got really big dreams for this. He wants to build a full hobbit village on his property.
Okay, well, he's got, sounds like a group of five so far that's into it.
And he wants to recreate the caravan of the dwarves from the movie, the Green Dragon Inn, and a human-sized version of Bilbo Baggins' house.
Really?
So visitors can come see it and live in the magical world just like he does.
Dude, it's pretty awesome that he's living out his dream. You know?
It's ambitious. Yeah. And how's he going to pay for all this? All through crowdfunding.
Okay, now money.
Really?
There's going to be a lot of Lord of the Rings fans that'll donate to this, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, like Brooke, there's skeptics and critics out there. But
haters,
Hey, listen, I love it that he's living his dream, just not my dream.
And Nick says it doesn't bother him. He says, quote, many make fun of us. Yep. Some think I'm trying to escape from reality. But far from it. I'm living my dream, my adventure. By purchasing that piece of land, I've removed it from a reality that I don't like, and I'm shaping it the way I want.
Okay. All right.
But he just kind of contradicted himself, though. Yeah. He's like, I'm not escaping from reality. I'm just creating my own reality.
Yeah, I just hate the world. Yeah. So.
Isn't that right, Harry Potter? Yeah. My friend Harry Potter right here.
So would you guys want to go live there in the Middle Earth in Italy?
I'd love to Airbnb for the weekend.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm not cool with 100-mile walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all got Hobbit Postmates yet?
Yeah. Is there a Hobbit spa? Like, maybe.
Those are in the works.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
Win! Brooke's Box!
This is for your fourth win in a row today, Brooke, and you're going to be playing first-time player Major from Tacoma, who drives garbage trucks for a living. What's up, Major?
Hey, how you doing?
Dude, good for you, man. What's the most interesting thing that you found in somebody's garbage?
A whole toilet bowl.
Jeez, you can just throw those away?
After a really, really bad use of one, you probably don't want it in your house anymore.
It was in a very nice neighborhood, too, so it was really very interesting.
Oh, okay. Fancy toilet.
They bought a gold one.
Yeah, that's right. It says here, Major, that you sometimes get tipped during the holidays and one lady even cooks for you?
Oh, yes. It's like certain like honey bun rolls and some Filipino dish. I can't remember what it's called.
We leave like Starbucks gift card out for our garbage people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you sure she was trying to cook it for you? Or maybe she was just trying to like give it to you to throw away for her. It's just like 4 weeks old.
Either way, it went to good use.
Good, man. We're going to send Brooke out of the studio while that happens. You know the game's played. You have 30 seconds to answer as many questions as possible. If you don't know when you could say pass, but you have to beat Brooke outright to win. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Your time starts now. On this day in 1962, ABC's first color TV series aired. It was what famous cartoon?
Scooby-Doo.
What was the cost of the very first Model T car? More or less than $500?
Less.
Mikhail Baryshnikov was famous for what form of entertainment?
Banjo.
$100,000 is six figures. How many figures is $1 billion?
10.
Which Beverly Hills Cop actor voiced Mushu in the Disney movie Mulan?
Pass.
All right. Got those in. We're going to bring Brooke back into the studio. And while she's coming back in, what's something that you're looking forward to this fall, Major?
They know it still work.
Being able to work, grateful.
Did they not collect garbage the rest of the year?
Well, no, but, COVID's been crazy, so if one of our sites gets hit too hard, then we're pretty much shut down.
Like health. You just want health this fall.
There we go.
Yeah. Dude, you and us both.
Yeah, Seriously.
All right, Brooke, your turn. Are you ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. On this day in 1962, ABC's first color TV series aired. It was what famous cartoon?
Bugs Bunny.
Was the cost of the very first Model T car more or less than $500?
Less.
Mikhail Baryshnikov was famous for what form of entertainment?
Ballet.
$100,000 is six figures. How many figures is $1 billion?
10.
Which Beverly Hills Cop actor voiced Mushu in the Disney movie Mulan?
Eddie Murphy.
What's the term used for something that occurs twice a year?
Biannual.
All right, got the answers in. We're going to the scoreboard to see how you both did with Jose.
Oh, Archie, what are you going down there for?
Bolaños.
Oh, that's so good. Major, you got one correct today, my guy.
Sorry, buddy.
And Brooke,
yeah,
you are good at what you do. You got 4.
Okay.
Oh, man. Sorry about
that's
that,
Major. That's to you.
Yeah. That's all right. It's your first time. You can call back.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, always again. Welcome.
Let's go over the answers for everybody. On this day in 1962, ABC's first color TV series aired. That was The Jetsons.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh. Makes sense.
The cost of the very first Model T car was more than $500.
Oh.
Cost $850.
Really? Dang.
I still couldn't afford one.
No. I know.
And you got to go 8 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Mikhail Baryshnikov was famous for ballet, one of the world's best ballet dancers and choreographers.
He said banjo, which I would have loved. Just the Russian banjo.
Would have been so sick. $100,000 is 6 figures. $1 billion is 10 figures.
Dang.
You guys both knew that one. Beverly Hills Cop actor Eddie Murphy did the voice of Mushu in the Disney movie Mulan. And the term used for something that occurs twice a year is biannual.
Mm.
So, Major, I can't give you any money today, but just for playing, you do get a $25 Regal Cinemas gift card. And make sure to check out the next action flick, Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings.
I heard it's so good.
I know previously Ten Rings had only been seen in Alexis's DMs by wealthy suitors trying to win her over. But you know what? Now you can see Ten Rings in theaters, Major, so you enjoy.
That works. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I listen to you guys every morning, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening, man. We
appreciate
you.
You're awesome, bro.
We'll be back to play Winbrook's Bucks same time tomorrow.
Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.